Good evening, everyone. How are you? As Dove mentioned, we're here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is something that I have been doing on Tuesday afternoons for many months. I think we started it in late February, so many months. And really, this was the idea of a friend of mine. Her name is Christine, and she lives in Canada. And what she asked me to do was to begin at the beginning with all of the messages that Holy Spirit has given me that I've posted on reginadonacres.com and go through them again in chronological order. So that's what we did. And the messages I began in, I believe it was July of 2004, and we're now up to May of 2005. So if people are joining us now for the first time because of the schedule change, you're kind of joining us in the middle, but that's okay. Like Dove said, everything is perfect. It doesn't matter. But we are kind of in the middle of this. If anybody is interested in going back and listening to any previous recordings from Holy Spirit Guides, those are all available at reginadonacres.com. And in fact, what I'm going to do right now is give you the link to reginadonacres.com, because if you want to, you can go there right now and read along with me as I read from reginadonacres.com. For those of you who do go there, when you get to the website, what you'll want to do is look for the archives on the right-hand menu, and you'll want to click on May 2005. Pay attention to the year, because there's a few Mays there, so make sure you get May 2005. And I'm just going to turn off the mic and wait a second while you go to the website, for those of you who are going. Cliff. Oh, Cliff, am I going to talk about relationships? You know, you always ask the same question, my love. Is there a specific question that you have tonight about relationships that you want me to talk about? Okay, well, Cliff, I honestly don't know what I'm going to talk about because I haven't read ahead. So I don't know what's going to come up. We'll see if relationships come up. If a specific question comes up for you, you know you can ask, and we'll just take it from there, okay? All right, so I'm going to start reading in just a moment. If you went to May 2005, what you'll want to do at the top of the page, you'll see something about two movies. You'll want to scroll down to the bottom of that page. You're looking for a posting that was made on Friday, May 20th, 2005, and it's called, Do Not Be Concerned About Your Spiritual Path. So maybe that's the answer, Cliff. Do not be concerned about your relationships. Maybe that's the answer. So I'm just going to start reading. What I would like to do before I start reading is I would like to give this reading to the Holy Spirit and ask that the Holy Spirit help us to see whatever we want to see, whatever we need to see, to help us to realize whatever we need to realize. I would like to remind everybody in the room that you are a part of this flow. So if you're feeling any guidance to ask any questions, or if you are feeling any guidance to share anything, please do that and everything will be perfect. Yes, Dove, I do believe I am recording. Let me double check. Yep, I have the recorder on. We're all set. Casoli, I see you are asking, what can I teach you about miracles? I think probably just the short answer I will give you, because I know that you're new to the room. So the short answer that I will give you before we get started is to let you know that we study A Course in Miracles as well as some other books in this room. But the primary book is A Course in Miracles. And what we learn in A Course in Miracles is that the mind is the cause of everything we experience in the world. So the way miracles come about is by changing our minds, by changing the thoughts we accept into the mind, changing the way that we think. It's not God calling, it's my ex-boyfriend, Cliff. ex-boyfriend. It's the second time he's called. If he calls a third time, I may have to take it. Maybe it's important for some reason. But yeah. But anyway, so yeah, it's about changing our minds. And as we change our minds, since the world and our experience in the world are a reflection of our minds, then what happens is our experience changes. And that experience may often feel like a miracle because we were in such habits before that we thought life looked a certain way, and when we learn to change our minds, life can look differently, and that can seem like a miracle. But yeah, in reality, it isn't a miracle. That's the good news. That's the good news. All it is cause and effect. It's just learning to use cause and effect in a different way. So welcome to the Rim Kasoli, and hopefully you'll be hanging out with us for a long time, and if so, you'll hear a lot more about miracles. For now, I'm going to begin reading from ReginaDonAkers.com, Friday, May 20th. And the name of this writing is Do Not Be Concerned About Your Spiritual Path. And again, this is a message that Holy Spirit gave to me personally as I was studying A Course in Miracles. Lightheartedness is necessary now. Too much seriousness within the illusion makes the illusion real. Too much seriousness within your thoughts makes you real. And if you are real to you, the illusion is real and important. Do not be concerned about your spiritual path. It is nothing to worry about. I've told you this before. All steps lead to awakening. So enjoy the steps you are taking. Your enjoyment hastens your awareness of heaven. Practice. What the world needs more of is practice. Lay the words aside and live the meaning behind the words. Quiet your mind and feel the meaning. Then live that. It is meaning that will bring joy into your heart. Meaning comes from me, not from this world you have made. So be light-hearted about your world and open up to receive the joy of meaning from me. Now, practice this in all you do today. I don't specifically remember Friday, May 20th, 2005. I'm absolutely certain that this was a message that was very specific to the frame of mind I had at the time. What we're looking at Friday, May 20th, 2005, the time frame, the time frame was when I was just about to leave my job in Boston and move to North Carolina. So there was lots of transition going on. I was probably getting ready for a garage sale or something like that, getting ready to move out of my house. And I'm certain I was really feeling in the mind that I needed to do things right. There was probably this feeling that I needed to do everything right, that I could somehow screw up. Make some major mistake at this point during this transition. I'm sure there was a lot of fear in my mind. So Holy Spirit is really simply asking me to relax, have fun, and trust. Trust that everything is in His hands and that I can't truly make a mistake. And these are wonderful words. These are wonderful words. I just recently went through another transition, and again, fear came up for me. And I think it's really important to read these words again, to remember to just relax, have fun, remember that everything is perfect. Relax, have fun, remember that everything is perfect, everything is in Holy Spirit's hands. Just completely surrender and enjoy the moment. And Cliff is saying, that's all I have to do, relax and have fun. And it sounds like that's what the Holy Spirit is telling us, Cliff. So how do you feel about that? Relax and have fun. Everything else is being led by the Holy Spirit. Everything else will unfold. We don't have to do anything. We know that from A Course in Miracles. I need do nothing. And I see Be Free Today says this is perfect. Cliff says it's too easy. Too easy to relax and have fun. Well, you know what, Cliff? I'm going to make that my goal for tomorrow. I'm just going to relax and have fun all day tomorrow. And we'll see how that goes. Wow, the next one is long. You want to scroll up to Friday, May 20th, 2005? This is a good one. The Laws of Chaos. I do remember this morning. I remember sitting and writing this. soon as the relationship comes, then you can relax and have fun? No, 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 Cliff. No, my love. The relationship will come when you learn to relax and have fun. Relax and have fun first, Cliff. All right, the laws of chaos. The laws of chaos come directly from... Cliff wants to win the lottery, too. The laws of chaos come directly from A Course in Miracles. The first thing I'm going to do is just review the five laws of chaos as they are written in A Course in Miracles. And when I read the laws of chaos, I literally had no understanding. I didn't understand a word I was reading in A Course in Miracles. So Holy Spirit sat down and explained them to me in, you know, Gina language. So that's what we're really going to hear, is a reinterpretation that would help me to understand the laws of chaos. But first, let's read the five laws. The first law of chaos, the truth is different for everyone. And I want to point out that these are laws of chaos. This is not the truth. So in other words, it is not true that the truth is different from everyone, for everyone. But that is a law of chaos. When we believe that, that begins stepping us into total chaos. And I see I'm getting a private message right now. I'm sorry, I cannot accept private messages while I'm teaching. I'm not good enough to do two things at once. So again, the first law of chaos, the truth is different for everyone. The second law of chaos, each one must sin and therefore deserves attack and death. The third law of chaos, God must accept his son's belief in what he is and hate him for it. The fourth law of chaos, you have what you have taken. By this, another's loss becomes your gain. And the fifth law of chaos, there is a substitute for love, born of your enmity to your brother, and it is salvation. There we go. The substitute for love is for me to make you my enemy, and that is my salvation. These are the laws of chaos. And as I said, when I read them, they made no sense to me whatsoever. So I sat down with Holy Spirit, and this is the discussion we had. The first question I asked, I started at the beginning. I said, what would you have me realize from the first law of chaos, which again is, the truth is different for everyone. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pamela. Happy birthday to you. How was your balloon ride, Pamela? Welcome to the room, sweetheart. Okay, so... what would you have me realize from the first law of chaos? The truth is different for everyone. Answer. And again, the Holy Spirit was speaking directly to me, directly to Regina Akers, directly into my mind. You are afraid to speak the truth to some because you have judged that they will not value what you have to say and they will think of you as unworthy. Do not judge for yourself to whom to speak of truth, and to whom not to. Let me decide that for you, and do as I ask. Your faith and joy will be extended through sharing in faith. Now, I do know where this paragraph is coming from. As I mentioned to you, I was making a big transition. I was leaving my job, leaving where I lived, coming to North Carolina, and lots of people in my life had questions about what the heck I was doing. And there were some people that I was very, very comfortable answering truthfully, what I perceived to be truthfully, telling them that I was following guidance. And there were other people that I was not at all comfortable giving that answer to, and I would make up a story. Usually the story was that, I was working as an executive in Boston. I had quite a commute, and I didn't have a lot of time with Jasmine in the evening. So the story was I wanted to move to North Carolina where it was cheaper so I could spend more time with Jasmine. So that was the story. And so I wasn't being consistent, and I certainly was not checking in for guidance on what to say to who. And so Holy Spirit is really telling me that this action was because I believed that the truth was different for everyone. And I believed that. I believed that the truth was different for everyone. And so I believed that if I was to tell the story that I perceived as the truth, that I was following guidance, to someone that I thought would not buy into that because their truth was different, that somehow that reflected on me and made me unworthy. So you can see how this was that law of chaos being manifest in my life. And of course, Holy Spirit is asking me to let go of all of that, to let go of this law of chaos, to let go in judging for myself when to speak my truth and when to not speak my truth, and to just surrender to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide me in how to answer the questions. And then Holy Spirit continues, be willing to let go of your own values and do not feel guilty for the values you have not yet let go of. Be willing to let go. That is all I ask. I will lead you to let go through your willingness. And so again, this is referring to how I was feeling as people were asking me why I was leaving. And certainly there would be something in the individuals that I would value that was becoming an obstacle to me being able to speak the truth or check in with Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is asking me to let go of these values, let go of these judgments with different people and what I thought they would want to hear. But then Holy Spirit is being really very loving and in the very next step asking me not to judge myself or not to feel guilty for still having the values. That if I found them very difficult to let go of, which at that time I certainly was, then just give my willingness to let go of the values. So really Holy Spirit is being very, very gentle with me. King Fab, can you give me an idea what you want to talk about? And then, of course, I will turn the mic over to you if it's on topic. I'd love to do that. For now, let me go on to the next law of chaos or the next question. What would you have me realize from the second law of chaos? And that second law of chaos is, each one must sin and therefore deserves attack and death. And this is the answer from the Holy Spirit. This tells you that the Son of God is not God Himself, that the Son is separate from the Father. If you believe this of your brothers, you will also believe it of yourself. If you believe it of yourself, you will see your separation as permanent and hopeless, and you will not believe in what is true, and so you will not experience it. Now, there's an awful lot in that paragraph, and a lot that I've even been looking at in my own mind lately. So I'm going to slow down a little bit here. Holy Spirit's getting a little closer to my heart right now. Again, the law of chaos was each one must sin and therefore deserves attack and death. And, you know, one thing that's really interesting in this answer is the second sentence in the answer, where the Holy Spirit says, if you believe this of the brothers, of your brothers, you will also believe it of yourself. So what Holy Spirit is telling us is that if we are judging others for what they seem to do, for what they seem to say, for how they seem to be, for the way they look, for the way they dress, for anything at all, that really what's happening in our mind is that we are deciding that they deserve attack and death. And in fact, what we're already doing is attacking them within our own mind. But the Holy Spirit is telling us that if we do this, we're also going to believe this about ourselves. And this is really important to realize, because if we believe this about ourselves, if we believe that we deserve attack and death, if we really believe that, we are never, ever going to be able to surrender to the Holy Spirit or return ourselves to God. We're simply not going to be able to do it, because there's going to be a fear in the mind that is way too strong, clearly believed, that will not enable us to return our mind to God. There's going to be a belief that we deserve attack and death. There is going to be a belief that if we become completely vulnerable and go to God with completely open hands and a completely open mind, that He's going to stab us, or that He's going to turn us away, that He's going to kill us. And we absolutely need to let go of that belief in order to return our minds to God. And if we take this sentence and turn it around the other way, what we notice is if we believe this about ourselves, it's also because we still believe it about our brothers. And so this is why in A Course in Miracles, when it talks about the obstacles to love, and it talks about the fourth and final, it talks about the obstacles to peace, and it talks about the fourth and final obstacle to peace, which is the obstacle to love. And it tells us that we cannot face that obstacle without our brothers. And this is what it's referring to. If there are any of our brothers, if there's anything at all that we have not forgiven, accepted, and learned to love, if there is anything at all, then we're still going to be believing our brother deserves attack and death. And if we still believe that about our brother, we're still going to believe that about ourselves, and we will not be able to return to God. So this is why this second law of chaos, that each one must sin, absolutely has to be let go of. Let me read this first paragraph from the answer again. This tells you that the Son of God is not God himself, that the Son is separate from the Father. If you believe this of your brothers, you will also believe it of yourself. If you believe it of yourself, you will see your separation as permanent and hopeless, and you will not believe in what is true, and so you will not experience it. It's interesting because in the last week I've been looking at an obstacle in my mind, a very strong obstacle in my mind. And in fact, Pamela talked a little bit about this the other day on the Peace of God in kind of a joking way. But I was looking at the obstacle in my mind. There is a thought that comes up in my mind from time to time that tells me the truth is not true. And in fact, when I am believing that at all, it seems to be one of my greatest fears. It seems to be one of my greatest fears that the truth is not true. And of course, the reason for me that that's a great fear is because I have changed my entire life on the faith that it is. You could say I have put all of my eggs in one basket. I have, I'm not working for an income now. I'm not making my own decisions on how to live my life. I put all of my eggs in one basket, trusting that this intuition I'm feeling, these visions that I have, this voice that I hear is the Holy Spirit, and that I am being guided and that everything is perfect. And that, of course, is great if that is true. But if that is not true, if I am somehow delusional, I've really screwed things up for myself. And that fear rises up in my mind sometimes. And what the Holy Spirit is saying in this paragraph is that that fear will rise up in your mind as long as you continue to believe that each one must sin and therefore deserves attack and death. As long as that belief is in the mind, then the fear that the truth is not true is also going to arise in the mind. But one thing that Pamela wrote this week, which I really loved because I've also come to this realization myself, Pamela wrote something like, and Pamela, I'm sure I won't quote you exactly, but I'll at least share the content as I understood it in my mind. Pamela wrote something like, so what if the truth is not true? she said something like, I don't think I'm going to lay on my deathbed and wonder if I should have spent my life making more judgments in the mind, judging more things. I don't think I'm going to lay on my deathbed and wonder if it would have been better if I'd had a less peaceful mind, a less peaceful life. And I love that because when I look at it from that way, I do start laughing, and I'm able to laugh at that fear that the truth is not true, because I realize that what is happening as I'm following this path is I am learning to be happier. I am learning to love more fully. And I also know in my heart that I want to continue on that path. I want to continue on the path of being happier and on the path of loving, and that this is working for me even if the truth is not true. And when I get to that realization, when I feel that true desire in my heart and I'm ready to move forward anyway, what happens is that little worry that the truth is not true just completely disappears. And I find myself right back in the trust that it is. Pam is saying now that she doubts she'll ever wish that she would have been more disturbed in her lifetime. But yeah. So, but the point is, you know, in this paragraph, again, that Holy Spirit is telling us, as long as we are still judging our brothers, we are still judging ourselves, and we are still going to have that fear in the mind, that belief in the mind that the truth is not true. And as long as we hold to that belief in the mind, it will be an obstacle to experiencing the truth. We will experience what we believe. And so we will experience that the truth is not true. So again, Holy Spirit is just explaining the second law of chaos to us and explaining the effect that it has in our own mind. And we can see that it's a large obstacle to accepting God within the mind, to accepting ourselves as we truly are. I'm going to go on to the second paragraph in this answer. To experience oneness with God for yourself, be willing to see it in your brothers. I love this next sentence. Do not struggle to see it there, for if you do, you are asking the ego to show it to you, and you will not see it. I have heard many times over the last few years since I've been on the spiritual path, I've heard people, you know, talk about somebody that did such and such, you know, that was not too cool. You know, maybe somebody was rude or something. And he said, but I tried to see the light in him. I tried to see the light in him, you know. And what Holy Spirit is saying here is, nope, nope, that's not it. When you're trying to see the light in someone, you're actually using the ego. The ego is always efforting. Holy Spirit is saying, I don't want you to try to see the light in someone. I want you to be willing to see the light in someone. That's completely different, to be willing to see the light in someone. And then what usually happens when we are willing to see the light in someone, when we're truly, truly willing, you know, and in a very sincere way, is that Holy Spirit will show us an error in our own mind that is blocking that perception. We find that there's something in our mind that is the obstacle to seeing the light, to knowing the love. And so then it becomes a process in our own mind of letting go of this obstacle. And then once we do, we just see the light where we didn't see it before. So there's no efforting and trying to see the light in someone through all of their badness. That's not the point at all. Let me start this paragraph again and then finish it. To experience oneness with God for yourself, be willing to see it in your brothers. Do not struggle to see it there. For if you do, you're asking the ego to show it to you, and you will not see it. Simply give me your willingness to see it, and rest patiently in peace and faith. If you can wait in faith without abiding to the temptation to struggle, you will see God in your brother and find him in yourself. I'm going to read the last sentence again because it's perfect. It's so perfect, and we all need this. If you can wait in faith without abiding to the temptation to struggle, you will see God in your brother and find him in yourself. So absolutely, the Holy Spirit is asking us to lay down the efforting, lay down the struggle, lay down trying to let the ego guide us to salvation. Just surrender, give willingness, and trust that the Holy Spirit will help us to see the light in our brother, and we will. I'm going to let go of the mic for just a second to get a drink of water. If anybody has anything to share now, please raise your hand, and I'll turn the mic over to you. All right, then, let's continue with the third law of chaos. My question was, what would you have me realize from the third law of chaos? And that law is, God must accept his son's belief in what he is and hate him for it. So here's the answer. This is the law that makes yourself, and this is self with a capital S, this is the law that makes yourself your enemy and makes it impossible to trust yourself, again with a capital S. For here, You fear your own power, afraid that you will use it to punish and destroy yourself. And so you believe it is safer to deny your power, which is to deny yourself and make yourself little and without hope. In this, you become a victim of the world outside of you, one who has good days and bad days, but who cannot influence those days himself. Again, this is very, very, very close to some things that I've been feeling recently. In fact, I can feel my heart beating a little bit. Actually, this experience was a couple months ago. It wasn't real recent, but it was such a strong experience, and this paragraph is bringing it back to my mind. Some of you may have heard this story before, but earlier in the summer, I had two fear of love experiences, very strong fear of love experiences, and they were different. I think the first fear of love experience was a stepping stone to the second fear of love experience. What happened in the first fear of love experience is when I got really deep into the fear, what I saw in the mind as a belief was the thought, which I had just described to you above, the thought that if I went to God, if I truly laid down all of my defenses, truly, truly surrendered and went to God, that God would turn me away. God would say, not you. And I would be permanently cut off from God. And that would be pure hell. In fact, I saw during this fear experience that this is probably where the idea of hell came from. It was a very strong fear, very strong fear. But then about a week later, I had another fear of love experience that was worse. It was worse. In the first fear of love experience, there was still an other. There was a God who could reject me. In the second fear of love experience, there was no other. There was only self. And when I was very deep into the fear, what I saw very, very clearly was that there was the belief in the mind that if I was to move forward and look at everything that was in the mind that Holy Spirit is guiding me to look at and let go of, specifically look at unworthiness, self-hatred in the mind, that if I was to move forward and do that, that what would happen is that I would have to face things about myself, not thoughts in the mind, but true things about myself. This is how the ego talks. True unworthiness that is so strong that I would not be able to bear it. And what would happen is that I would reject myself. And the I that is rejecting myself in this fear is not Regina rejecting herself. This was the Son of God, or you might even want to say God. This was this very, very powerful, powerful creature turning on itself. And this was the big fear, that when self turned on self, that would be the ultimate hell. That would be the absolute ultimate hell, when all of that power was completely turned on self in a negative, attacking, and really the word that comes to mind is devouring way. Self-devouring self. That is a very, very, very real fear within our own mind. And most of us are not at all in touch with that fear. But we truly do fear ourself and fear our own power. And we will continue to fear ourself and fear our own power as long as we believe that we and our brothers are not deserving of love, are instead deserving of attack and death, which was that first law of chaos. So when we get to the third law of chaos, where we believe that God must accept his son's belief in what he is, which is not deserving, and hate him for it because he's not deserving, because he's truly, truly, truly unworthy, when we get to that third law of chaos, that's when this fear of ourself arises. And this fear of ourself is so strong, it's so strong, even though it's not in most of our conscious minds, it's in mine now, which is why my heart's beating. Most of us are not at all consciously aware of this fear. But this fear is so strong that this is why we choose to make ourselves little. You know, people ask questions like, why would someone choose cancer, for example? This is the answer to that question. Because in choosing cancer, we are teaching ourselves that we are not this power that we truly fear. We're teaching ourselves that we're little. We're avoiding this fear in the mind. I saw this once when I simply had a cold coming on. This was about a year ago. I had a cold coming on, and for some reason, I don't even remember what I did to bring this on, but when I went to bed with the thought that I had a cold coming on, I closed my eyes, and I went into the mind, not into Regina's mind, but I went, it was like a mystical experience, I went into our mind. And what I saw in our mind was that I really wanted this cold, and I saw that I really wanted this cold because I wanted to be little, because I wanted to deny who I was, and the belief that I could get a sore throat and a stuffy nose was assisting me in that belief. And I saw that as clear as day. It was the first time I ever saw it. I had read it in A Course in Miracles, but this was the first time that I experienced that wanting within the mind. And what was really nice about it is when I came back from that experience and chose to see differently, the cold went away. I did not get the cold. But what I did learn is that we do choose to be little, and we choose to be little in a lot of different ways. And the reason we choose to be little is because we fear who we are. Truly, we do not want to know thyself. So let me read this paragraph again. This is the law that makes yourself your enemy and makes it impossible to trust yourself. For here, you fear your own power, afraid that you will use it to punish and destroy yourself. And so you believe it is safer to deny your power, which is to deny yourself and make yourself little and without hope. In this, you become a victim of the world outside of you, one who has good days and bad days, but who cannot influence those days himself. So you see how that is a total denial of the power of our mind. It's a total denial of the power of our mind. Holy Spirit continues, do not doubt what I say. You are the only influence over your experience. There is no other. But you deny this influence because you fear yourself. I'm just going to read that last paragraph one more time because it's really important for us to hear this message. Do not doubt what I say. You are the only influence over your experience. There is no other. But you deny this influence because you fear yourself. So that's the third law of chaos. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share before we move on to the fourth. Yeah, Terry, please go ahead.
Regina, I was just wondering, the fear of love seems to me is like... it's been said in here many times, if you spot it, you got it. So the only way we could actually fear this love is because we recognize that it's true. And in full acceptance of this, then the little me disappears. And maybe is that the fear that you're talking about? I mean, is that really the fear of God or the fear of love?
Yeah, Terry, it's kind of funny because I feel lucky. I feel lucky to have had these really strong fear experiences this summer, even though they were really strong fear experiences. The reason I feel lucky is because having the experience shows you what's in the mind more than, reading about it or talking about it can. It's really the only way to understand it, so I feel lucky. But what I can tell you as best as I can, honestly, what I saw is the absolute core, okay? the absolute core of all fear. The absolute core of all fear is that our mind does know what we are, and our mind does feel, as the Course says, very, very guilty, or as I experience it, very, very unworthy, and that the mind understands the creative power that we are, and it understands that if it, or it believes, I should not say it understands, it believes that if it creates through this unworthiness, through this guilt, looking fully at it without any denial, that what's going to happen is something terrible, maybe even self-devouring self, which would be literally the end of God, the end of existence. And this is the fear. There is no fear of some other God. There is no fear of rejection of other people. These things are all just manifestations of the fear of self. And it's nearly impossible to explain. It's something that needs to be experienced. I'm sure at one time, whenever anybody is ready, they will experience it. But it's a horrible fear. And in fact, it was only a few nights ago when I had another experience that literally only lasted like 2 seconds, because I don't believe I could have handled it any longer. Holy Spirit showed me just how strong the fear in our mind is. And it was absolutely horrific. It was absolutely horrific. I only saw it for like, or felt it really is the word. I say saw it, but it was really felt it, know it, for like 2 seconds. But Holy Spirit let me see just how vicious and horrific and terrifying that fear is. And I think that the reason, well, I know that the reason Holy Spirit let me see it is because I was going through a lot of fear myself last week, and I was even judging myself for going through the fear, and Holy Spirit wanted me to be gentle with myself and to understand where these surface level fears were coming from. And that's exactly what happened. When I saw the fear in the mind, I let up on myself. I quit judging myself for being afraid, and I kind of relaxed into the fear and just allowed it. And then after that, I was able to move on through it. But it really is a fear of our truth. That's what the fear of love is. It's a fear of our truth. It's a fear of what we really are, because there's a fear that we will misuse it to devour ourself. Can you go step by step the process of seeing the fear and what to do with it? I can only give a partial answer to that. I can tell you how it happened to me. I think the real answer is that it happened to me through my willingness. I mean, that's the only real answer. It wasn't super conscious willingness. Like, I did not say to the Holy Spirit, you know, please show me the worst fears in my mind. I never prayed that prayer. But what I did pray a prayer in mid-May where I asked the Holy Spirit to lead me higher into love. And I believe it was that prayer that led me to see these obstacles in my mind and several other things that are manifested from those obstacles. Okay, let me see what you're saying, Creator's Gift. Can you go step by step the process of seeing the fear and what to do with it once you identify a fear? Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. First, let me give you a sentence that Holy Spirit... Oh, the... Well, now that I know who you are, I'm not going to answer your question. I thought you were a stranger. No, hello, Cliff. I don't know what you're doing in there under Creator's Gift, but hello, I love you. Okay, Cliff, I'll answer your question. You know this is not a question about relationships, Cliff. All right. So, yeah, here's what you do, Cliff, okay? First of all, let me give you a sentence that the Holy Spirit gave me a long time ago, which has always been very, very helpful to me. All right? The Holy Spirit told me that patience is a symbol of love in what seems to be a world of time. And I'll say that again. Patience is a symbol of love in what seems to be a world of time. So what the Holy Spirit is saying is that patience is love. In this experience that we're having, patience is love. And that sentence has been extremely helpful to me, for example, when I'm looking at fear. So one of the first things I do is I remember that sentence. And the first thing I choose to do is to be patient. And somehow when I choose to be patient with fear, it takes away being afraid of the fear. You can actually experience fear without being afraid of it. When fear is really a bad experience is when you're afraid of the fear. And that can snowball and it can become a horrible experience. But when you're able to experience fear with patience, it's a completely different experience. So the first thing I would do is choose to be patient with the fear, choose to rest in trust through the fear, and choose not to try to escape the fear. Because if you're trying to escape the fear, then what's happening is you're fearing the fear. So I also think of fear sometimes as like a carnival ride. Holy Spirit once gave me a vision about me being in a haunted house sitting next to an angel, and I'll remember that vision. And I'll just imagine that I'm in a carnival ride, and all I have to do is sit back in my carnival ride and rest until the fear ends. And then, yes, I trust Holy Spirit. But I often, when I'm in the fear, I often cannot hear Holy Spirit. It doesn't really seem to matter how much I invite Holy Spirit. When I'm really in the fear, I can't hear Holy Spirit in the way I traditionally do. But what I can often do is still feel Holy Spirit in the heart, even though I feel fear. I can still feel Holy Spirit in the heart. And then also what I'll find is Holy Spirit will show me things about my fear in a way where I'll suddenly have realizations, like I did with the realization that what's really going on here is this is self-fearing self. That came to me in a way that was Holy Spirit. It was kind of enlightening to see the fear. But I think that's it, Cliff. There's nothing else to really do with fear because you don't want to run from fear. You don't want to try and talk yourself out of fear. You don't want to rationalize your way out of it. You know, if your fear is the fear of being alone, you don't want to feel the fear and then run to the computer and start looking at the dating want ads. That's really trying to escape the fear. It's trying to find a solution in the world to get out of the fear. What you want to do is just be patient with yourself through the fear and trust the Holy Spirit. And again, Cliff, you know, let's go back to the first thing we said, relax and be happy. You know, relax and be happy, and the relationships will come. But you want to learn to relax and be happy. So rest through the fear, let go of the fear, and what's on the other side of that fear is the ability to relax and be happy. Okay, let's go back. I think we're ready for the fourth law of chaos. What would you have me realize from the fourth law of chaos, which is, you have what you have taken. By this, another's loss becomes your gain. And this is what Holy Spirit said to me. You believe the way to have peace and love is to take it from your brother. For you see yourself as an object and him as an object, and you believe that if one object has peace and love, the other object cannot. Since you are the Son of God, you still have an awareness that you are sustained by peace and love, although you are not fully conscious of this awareness. Since you know that it sustains you, and you believe that if your brother has it, you do not, you find that you must attack your brother to take back that which you need. But you have failed to recognize that your brother is the same as you. And if he feels his peace and love has been taken, he will seek to take it back for himself. And so a battle ensues. And it is a battle that will not cease until the Son of God realizes that he is one and that peace and love are within him. And, you know, this paragraph describes everything that goes on from a relationship between two people all the way to global war. This is the same phenomenon that happens where, you know, we believe somehow the other has taken our peace and love from us. Or we believe we cannot have peace and love if they have theirs. For example, jealousy in the personal relationship is a perfect example of this. You know, if I see my partner talking with another woman and laughing and giggling and you know, I start getting all jealous, that's really a manifestation of this fear. I believe that my peace and love is being threatened right now. And so when we get home from the dinner party or wherever we were, I attack. When I attack, my partner then begins to feel the same thing, that his peace and love is now being taken away because of how I'm attacking him. He attacks back, and a war ensues. Same thing happens on the global scale. This is why we fight wars, whether it's a border war, whether it's a religious war, whatever it's about. It's always being afraid that our peace and love is threatened by what another has, so we take it. When we take it, their peace and love is threatened, and a battle ensues. So it is the fourth law of chaos. And exactly what the Holy Spirit says here is true. A battle ensues, and it is a battle that will not cease until the Son of God realizes that he is one, and that peace and love are within him. And this is exactly why it's worth it to study courses like A Course in Miracles, NTI, The Way of Mastery, because what those courses teach us is to seek peace, love, and happiness within. And as each individual seeks peace, love, and happiness within, and then finds peace, love, and happiness within, that individual steps away from the belief in this law of chaos. And for every individual that steps away from this belief in chaos, this fourth law of chaos, that law dies a little more. So it's really the greatest gift that we can give to the world, the greatest gift that we can give to our brothers, is to be willing to achieve inner peace or inner happiness. You know, it doesn't sound like it would affect anybody but us, me. If I become, you know, peaceful within, happy within, it sounds like only Regina benefits. But that is not true, because we are one. And if I do that, then I take a little bit of belief from our one mind, a little bit of belief away from this fourth law of chaos, and our entire mind is one step closer to peace and happiness and joy. I'm moving on now to the fifth law of chaos. What would you have me realize from the fifth law of chaos? And here's that law. There is a substitute for love, born of your enmity to your brother, and it is salvation. So there we go, the fifth law of chaos, that the greatest insanity of it all is that my salvation is to see you as my enemy. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. This is the answer. This is the law that makes your madness complete. For this is the law that teaches you are sustained by separating yourself from your brothers, taking from them what you want and keeping it for yourself. With this law, everyone else is securely locked outside. You may seem to have relationships that are loving, and you may seem to do good works, but you are always protective of that which you believe you must keep to yourself. And this you consider sane and sensible. So it's interesting, because it is a very vicious law. It's a very vicious law that says that my brother is my enemy, I must hate him, and that is my salvation. It's a very vicious law. But what Holy Spirit is showing us is that we have a way of manifesting this very vicious law so that it doesn't look so vicious. Because we may seem to have loving relationships, we may seem to do good works. You know, that's the way it seems, and we can even tell ourselves that's what we're doing. But inside our mind, what we are really always doing is protecting that which we believe we must keep to ourselves. And in fact, just recently, just today, I have been talking to Laurent about how I feel about Jasmine sometimes. Sometimes when I want to be doing something, maybe I want to be teaching with you, maybe I want to be writing emails, maybe I want to be talking to Laurent, I want to be doing something, and Jasmine wants to be with me. The perception is that she wants to pull me away from what I want to do, and it seems like she can get very controlling. And when I was talking to Laurent about that this evening, what I realized in the mind was that I perceived happiness. I perceived happiness in my relationship with Jasmine to be that she's over there doing her thing, being happy, and I'm over here doing my thing, being happy, and there's some distance between us. And I saw that as happiness. And of course, it was really wonderful to see that tonight because I was able to begin letting that go. But that's exactly what this law of chaos is saying, because that seems to be a loving relationship, a mother-daughter relationship. And oftentimes it is. Some of you have been to my house and you can see, you know, how loving the relationship can be. But it can also not be loving when I want to be doing something and I'm very protective of wanting to do that thing. And then she comes along and wants me to pay attention to her. That is exactly what this law of chaos is. I have made Jasmine my enemy, and I believe that in keeping her my enemy, in keeping that space between us, that is my salvation. That is my happiness. And this is the kind of thing that we all do all of the time in one way or another. And the Holy Spirit is telling us that this is what makes our madness complete, is this belief in the mind, which we act out even in our most loving and most intimate relationships. Let me just read this to you again. This is the law that makes your madness complete. For this is the law that teaches you are sustained by separating yourself from your brothers, taking from them what you want, and keeping it for yourself. With this law, everyone else is securely locked outside. You hear that? With this law, everyone else is securely locked outside. No one can ever get completely intimate with us because there's always something we're going to protect. There's always some way we're going to push them away. There's always something we're going to keep for ourselves. With this law, everyone else is securely locked outside. You may seem to have relationships that are loving, and you may seem to do good works, but you are always protective of that which you believe you must keep for yourself. And this you consider sane and sensible. And I know that we can look at thoughts in the mind that we have where we protect ourselves, and we may even have witnesses show up and say, but that's a completely sane idea. That's a completely sensible idea. All you're doing is protecting yourself from getting hurt. Or all you're doing is making sure you have time to get your work done. Or all you're doing is whatever. It's completely sane and sensible. And that's what we've done with this fifth law of chaos, which is actually the most insane of all of them. And this is why we all have to be very, very, very careful at watching our minds. It's because of these laws of chaos that have led up to and then include this fifth law of chaos. And we are totally fooling ourselves in believing that we are in loving relationships when we are not. And that's not a very lovely note to end on, but it's where I'm going to end. We're done for today. And I think probably if anybody wants to take that and turn it into a more lovely note, the thing to do would be to go within this evening with the Holy Spirit and to let the Holy Spirit know that you are ready to experience only love, and that you know that in order to experience only love at a very true level, you must do some very honest work, and that you're ready to do that very honest work by looking at the things in your mind that are completely wrong, completely built on the laws of chaos, completely, completely wrong, that you have accepted as true, that you've accepted as natural, that you believe without even thinking about it. Tell the Holy Spirit that you are truly ready to begin looking at these thoughts in the mind. And what will begin to happen, and it will happen over time, because we can't look at it all at once, what will happen over time is you will begin to see these thoughts coming up in the mind, one at a time. And my experience has been, because I've been doing this primarily this summer at an increased rate, my experience has been that when you start to really see these thoughts in the mind, it can at first be very uncomfortable. That's because, if you're like me, you may be judging yourself for these thoughts as you start to see them for the first time, as you start to see these mistakes you're making. But once you learn to let go of the judgment, what you can do is start to be grateful. You can start to be really happy that you're seeing these errors in your mind, because you remember then that you must see the errors in order to let them go and choose again. And the only way you are going to be only love, know only love, extend only love, is to let go of these obstacles. And the only way you're going to let go of these obstacles is to become aware of them. So that is probably the positive note to end on, is that this is an opportunity to get what we really truly want, to learn to know ourself. And the way we learn to know ourself is the undoing of these laws of chaos, which teach us that we are what we are not. That's it, everyone. I am back on Friday. I'm doing a double dose on Friday, this week at least. I'll talk to Dove. We might change the schedule a little bit in the future, Dove. I might want to move Awakenings to another day if I keep it. But we'll test on Friday first. But on Friday, I will be here at 10 a.m. for Awakenings, 10 to 10:30. We're reading the Teacher's Manual. We're reading about honesty. And then the new time for the NTI study group is going to be on, Dove, move me to Monday. move me to Monday. I will teach this Friday, and then I'll teach Monday too, so starting next week we'll do Mondays. All right? Move me to Monday. Okay, so Friday morning, 10 o'clock for Awakenings. I love you. I love you, Dove. And then also, Friday afternoons, 2 to 3, I'm going to shorten the NTI study group to 1 hour. 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock on Friday afternoons, we'll do the NTI study group, and we are starting with Romans chapter 9 this week. And if you haven't heard the first three teachings on Romans, I think they're magnificent. So you might want to go to Regina Dawn Acres and listen to them. They're really good. They're great teachings. I love you all. Bye.